FM. Andy Bulbarch, a high five away from Matt Douglas. You've got us for another hour and 15 minutes, and then it's time for Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. The Cavs taking on Argentina's San Lorenzo, an exhibition action at 5:30 tonight. Time for us to head back to the hotline as we bring in our Hollywood insider, Michael Warschauer. Michael, how are you today, my friend?
Doing well. Happy to join you guys as always.
Well, boy, what a weekend for the Joker. We kind of figured that this movie would absolutely destroy it. We didn't know that it would do this well. I mean, we're talking about $93 million in change at the box office this weekend. Again, last week, I believe when we spoke, I think we had the idea that this was the second highest pre-sale, I believe, for an R-rated movie. But did you have any idea it was going to do this well, $93 million in change well?
I think it really kind of hit the high end of expectations. I'd seen a couple of things going into the weekend suggesting it would come close to about $90 million, and exceeding that certainly is fantastic for Warner Brothers, who only spent $55 million to make this movie. So, yeah, it took in a pretty massive haul, especially for an R-rated movie. It's the fourth largest opening for an R-rated movie of all time. It flattened the previous October record set by Venom last year, which was only $80 million. So this was a really, really big movie for Warner Brothers, for the DC comic universe, and for Todd Phillips, the director, who really has been kind of defending it over the last 6 weeks since it premiered at Venice. But I think the biggest thing is this movie is already at about $134 million globally. So it's made a massive amount of money in a very short time, and I'm not sure I see it really slowing down anytime soon. Gemini Man comes out this weekend. That's Will Smith pairing up with director Ang Lee, but it's getting a lot of pretty bad early reviews, and really the only competition on a major release scale would be the Addams Family, but that is obviously not the same audience that's going to go see Joker. So I think this movie is just sort of getting started. I don't think it's going to come back with another $90 million weekend, but I would expect it to be on top of the box office at least this next weekend and perhaps beyond that.
A lot of controversy surrounded the Joker as it was beginning to open. You kind of alluded to that. Do you think that helped or maybe hindered it? Could it have possibly done better?
I think it probably helped. There was a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we heard about police presence in theaters in New York and in Los Angeles. I know seeing it here in Chicago, they were checking everyone's bags, no masks, no costumes, nothing like that. So I think that there was just a lot of that built-in kind of story about what this movie was going to be, and I think that drove audiences. It really was the conversation last week was about Joker and whether this was a dangerous movie, whether it was even a good movie. And so Warner Brothers really did a lot to, I think, not really stoke the flames of that controversy, but not really step aside from it either. They just sort of let it happen, and I do think that that was part of it. I know that a lot of people that were saying they went to go see it just out of curiosity more than anything, whether this movie was worth all of this attention. And I think it's a matter of personal preference if you think it was or not, but I certainly think the controversy helped put people in seats and send them to theaters for sure.
What about the comic book community? Has it been well perceived from them? Because this is a character who really doesn't have an origin as far as the comic books go.
Yeah, I think that there's been a lot of positive feedback. I think it sort of depends on who you're asking. It's sort of like the general population. Everyone has kind of a divisive opinion. I think there's been a lot of people saying that Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker is still the iconic standard bearer of the role. But I think there were a lot of people that were really interested in seeing a superhero movie that didn't have costumes and big action scenes with lots of CGI. This was more of a grounded, really gritty take on a major character, in certainly in the Batman comics, but in superhero lore all around. So I think that it kind of might tell us a lot about what the future of comic book movies is if we start to see these sort of grittier or more adult takes on superheroes that stray a little bit from kind of the main Marvel formula that we've seen over the last decade or so. But I think for the most part, it got a pretty positive response from the comics community.
You mentioned a few moments ago that a lot of people walking into the movie theaters were kind of curious as to whether it was going to be a dangerous movie or if it was going to be a good movie. My guess is some combination of both. But what was more of what you heard and what you experienced? Did you think it was more dangerous or more good?
I think that it's kind of a mixture of everything. There was a lot of the movie that I really enjoyed, some parts of it that I thought were really well done, and Joaquin Phoenix in particular is pretty incredible as this character, very intense as he usually is. I don't know personally what exactly the message of the film is supposed to be. I know that there's a lot of violence in it, and it's certainly a character who is sort of driven to that violence through a lot of ills of society, through a lot of people around him. So I think that, you know, everybody's kind of coming in with a set of expectations. There are a lot of people that coming in kind of with a blank slate. But for the most part, you've either made up your mind going in of this could be a dangerous movie, this could be a bad movie, and that bias kind of stays with you the whole time. It's a movie I think that I need to see a second time. I've been thinking about it a lot over the last few days. Just kind of processing it. I think it has a lot of redeeming qualities, but I guess I'm not so sure what the ultimate message of the film is supposed to be.
Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, we'll transition out of the Joker and get into a movie that's not coming out here for a couple more months. What do you know about this new Clint Eastwood movie? They dropped the trailer earlier today, called Richard Jewell, who, of course, his story revolves around the bombings at the Olympics just over 20 years ago.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating release, another historical drama from Clint Eastwood, who's kind of made a habit of doing these over the last several years. This one follows, yeah, like you said, Richard Jewell, who was the central figure of the 1986 Atlanta Olympic bombing. He was originally the man who found the bomb and then was sort of falsely accused by the FBI and the media of being the bomber himself when he was, in fact, innocent the whole time. And it's a really fascinating study of that period of time, of the media. And I think it'll be really interesting to see Clint Eastwood take it on. He's done so many of these movies the last few years that are based on true stories, and they all sort of have his signature tone and feel to them, and we sort of know the kind of quality we're expecting from a Clint Eastwood movie. But this one in particular looks pretty interesting. It has Paul Walter Hauser as Richard Jewell. He stole scenes as one of the bumbling henchmen in I, Tonya a few years ago. So this is a guy who we know can really deliver. But it has a great cast with Sam Rockwell, Kathy Bates, John Hamm, and Olivia Wilde joining in. And it has Leonardo DiCaprio and Jonah Hill as two of its producers. So this is a big one that I think is going to be really interesting for awards season. It hasn't premiered anywhere yet, so we don't really have an idea of how good it is, but certainly one to keep an eye on as we get closer and closer to the Oscars.
Another one that has not necessarily dropped trailers, but we're certainly starting to hear a lot more about it, is called Bombshell, which of course tells the news, or I should say the stories, about some of the news ladies for Fox News. And it seems like a really interesting story. And this is a pretty star-studded cast as well.
Yeah, this one is another one to keep an eye on. It has Charlize Theron playing Megyn Kelly, Nicole Kidman as Gretchen Carlson, and then Margot Robbie, John Lithgow, Kate McKinnon, Connie Britton, Mark Duplass, Rob Delaney, Malcolm McDowell, Allison Janney. I mean, this is like an all-star cast. But really, all the attention so far has gone to Charlize Theron, who, in the one teaser that has been released, is pretty unrecognizable playing Megyn Kelly. It should be a really interesting film with all of these high-powered stars in it. It comes on the heels of a Showtime series that was kind of really telling the same story. It was called The Loudest Voice, came out this summer with Russell Crowe and Naomi Watts. So it'll be interesting to see a large screen, a big screen take on this. I'm really fascinated to see it. Charlize Theron's performance is really, like I said, the one that's making headlines. We'll see as we get closer and we start seeing more footage of this, how it turns out. But director Jay Roach most recently made Trumbo a few years ago, which got widespread acclaim for Bryan Cranston. So I have to believe that we're in for a treat of seeing some really tremendous actors pull this story off.
Well, and that kind of leads me into my next question here. Are we actually going to be in for a treat when NBC releases its new streaming service called Peacock? And one of the things that they are putting out there as one of its posters is that Saved by the Bell reboot. And I go into that with a little bit of cautious optimism, because anytime you hear reboot, you think, okay, that could mean a couple different things. But is this something, if you're a Saved by the Bell fan, that you should be excited about?
I would say very cautious optimism would be in order for this. It sounds like a really interesting show. It comes from Tracy Wigfield, who was Tina Fey's former protege on 30 Rock, and then went and made the very short-lived but really fantastic Great News, which was on NBC a few years ago. It's going to be an interesting plot. It's about it says when California Governor Zach Morris gets in hot water for closing too many low-income high schools, he proposes they send the affected students to the highest-performing high schools in the state, including Bayside. And so there's a whole new group of students that arrive at the school. We know that Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley are signed on, but I think the one thing that might cause a little concern for people is that Mark Paul Gosselaar and Tiffany Thiessen have both come out and said they didn't even know the show was happening until they saw the news break, the same as everyone else. So well, some of the original cast, but not all of them. Both of them, however, are on other shows currently, so that might be part of it. But I think there's reason to be optimistic. Tracy Wigfield is a very, very funny writer and showrunner who's kind of proven herself, and like I said, was Tina Fey's protege. So she has a really great background coming into it. But we've seen so many of these reboots. We've kind of, you know, like you said, there's a lot of reason to sort of be very cautious about these. And so we'll see what happens when the service debuts in April. But this is just one of several reboots that Peacock is putting forward, including Punky Brewster and Battlestar Galactica. So there's a chance that at least one of the three of those will hit. I don't know if it's going to be Saved by the Bell, but certainly a lot of things to be optimistic about and a lot of things to kind of be hesitant.
I feel like there's a lot of questions I can throw your way. But nonetheless, you said Governor Zach Morris, and then you said Mark Paul Gosselaar wasn't even aware this was being made. How is it they possibly can have his character involved, yet not him? That seems a little odd to me.
It sounds like the early rumors are that he's kind of an off-screen character to start the show, but that they have been in conversation with him to possibly have a few guest star spots and make some appearances. But for the most part, yeah, it's just sort of a jumping off part for the plot. At least it sounds contractually anyway.
And then it also sounded like CBS is kind of doing this thing. I think they're bringing on a new Picard show, a Star Trek continuation. It kind of sounds like the networks are using this to kind of reboot some of their old shows and test them out there in the market.
Absolutely. I think it's a kind of a safer space for them to do this. They can put whatever kind of money and time they want into it and sort of follow that Netflix model of being able to promote something for several months and then just drop all of it at one time. So I think that this is really a good test case for how all of these streaming networks are going to work, whether or not people are going to continue to flock away from cable, but spend more and more money on more and more streaming services. I think, yeah, it's going to be an interesting test case. I think they're using it as a very safe way to launch these services because it's an established intellectual property that doesn't need, good reviews necessarily to bring in people. There's people that love Saved by the Bell, that love Star Trek The Next Generation, that are going to sign up and watch these shows just out of nostalgia and out of excitement for it. So, it's a really good, safe launching point for these networks. Whether or not they're successful, I think, depends on the quality, but I guess we'll have to see with each one.
Well, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar or no Mark Paul Gosselaar, Kelly Kapowski or no Kelly Kapowski.
You can't have the character in there, not the character.
Hold on. You can't make this thing if you don't put the principal himself, Mr. Dennis Haskins, you got to have Richard Belding a part of this, don't you? You can't not include him. He's got to be a part of this, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think he's got to be. If it's not even in small cameos, he's got to be there for sure.
He has to. He absolutely has. See, he was kind of miffed about 10 years ago.
Didn't you do karaoke with him one time?
Oh, yeah. He and I did a duet on air about 10 years ago. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
That's your boy then, huh?
Yeah, he's got to be out there.
Looking out for Mr. Belding?
Of course I'm looking out for Mr. Belding. I want to say it was People Magazine. They did a reunion of sorts, and they left him out, and he was pretty upset about that. Uh-huh. Oh yeah, but see, you know, he was a big part of that, and he was going all the way back to the junior high years with Ms. Bliss.
Oh, yeah, he was in the original.
Yeah, so you can't leave him out of this, can you?
No, I don't think so, and I think that you know, we've seen with like the Boy Meets World kind of reboot, Girl Meets World, that they brought back even Mr. Feeny in some of those episodes and the kind of resonance that had. So I would expect to see him, even if it's just in a cameo or two, if not a full-fledged role.
Good stuff. Well, that's definitely music to my ears. All right, Michael, before we let you go, my friend, we need this week's picks to click. What should we be watching this week?
Sure. Well, on Sunday on AMC, there's a really interesting new series premiering. It's called Hip Hop, The Songs That Shook America. It's a docuseries that comes from Questlove and Black Thought from The Roots. And it features deep dives into a couple of iconic rap songs from Kendrick Lamar, Kanye West, Run DMC, Queen Latifah, Outkast, and more. So that will certainly be worth your time if you're a big hip hop fan. And also coming out this weekend is a movie called Parasite. It's a Korean dark comedy thriller that won the Palme d'Or, the best picture at Cannes Film Festival. It comes from director Bong Joon-ho, who made Snowpiercer and Okja, among many others. And it's about a family of grifters that kind of infiltrate a wealthy family. It has gotten universal praise as an early foreign language Oscar picture, and certainly one to check out. But if you can't make it to the theaters, don't worry. El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie, also premieres this Friday and certainly will give us finally some answers on the fate of Jesse Pinkman.
Good stuff. Michael, as always, we appreciate the insight. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break in a few minutes. Matt will update us on the local news, and then we will come back for the final hour of today's show here on AM 930 WEOL at 100.3 FM.
This is Clark.